has started. Roger.
Good morning, Kenny.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I thought you said you were at 95% full capacity.
Oh, I'm totally at 95%. Can't you tell?
You're at 95% volume, maybe, right now. It is Thursday. Did you know? April 21st.
Did you know? I didn't know.
Did you know it is also the year 2016?
No, I didn't know that.
You get it mixed up. Are you still writing 2015 on those checks you're writing?
What checks? Who writes checks anymore?
I don't know. Didn't you just have to pay the government? Don't you write the government in a check?
That's all digital now.
No, it isn't. Okay. All right.
But I still wrote 2015.
Yeah. Well, because it is for the tax year 2015. It's all very confusing. Nobody cares. Ba-ba-da. Hey, Kenny, we're live right now for at goodstuff.fm/live. But it's Thursday, so pay no attention to the regularly scheduled calendar invitations that are typically associated with this program. Just pay no attention to it. Everything's going to be fine. It'll be all right. We'll be back on Friday for sure, because we can't miss Food Friday. Right.
Of course not.
Of course not. Absolutely not. You can also call us or leave a message and text us at 949-342-6578. We've had a couple of people say hello, and it has been lovely. So thank you, people who have so far. Thank you. Someone tried to order a pizza through that number.
I guess you can try.
It would be cold by the time it gets there. So if you're on our team,
it'll be pizza, fossilized by the time you get
it. It probably would be fossilized. Yes, that's
actually, you know what? It nice probably work. Wouldn't get to you because we'd eat it.
Yeah, but it'd be cold anyway.
I would be the worst pizza delivery guy.
You would eat them all.
I would eat everything.
Goodness, that's awful. I think if you sat in a car.
Hi. Yes, you had the one large. One large pepperoni?
Yes.
No, we ordered three large pepperonis. Pretty sure you only ordered one large pepperoni.
They're on their way.
And a half a bottle of Pepsi.
Listen, I have one for you now. The other two are on their way. Just, you know, different drivers. They think it's going to be more efficient. It's fine. It's a whole new thing. One of them's on a drone. One of them's in a car. The other one has an oven. I have no idea what's happening.
Okay.
Kenny, this show is brought to you by FeedPress and our Patreon subscribers. I wanted to make sure to throw that out there and, you know, let the newly upped Patreon subscribers know that thanks to their contributions, we can continue to do what we do here on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but also Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
We do what we do. You do what you do.
It's very confusing. But
do.
I'm ready, Kenny, to talk about something incredibly important to the culture and the human
condition
feelings. It's Merriam-Webster Dictionary's words for 2016 that just got added.
Excellent.
This happens every year. Every single year, they go through the English language, or what we, I'm putting bunny ears, I'm putting at least 15,000 bunny ears around the word language. We're communicating, utilizing these words, believe it or not, probably on the internet, and Merriam-Webster feels like they need to become relevant for 15 seconds here on the 21st of April. To remind us of, you know, just how awesome the way we communicate is. So we're going to go over.
Yeah, I think I remember last year we had, what was it, bay and swag.
Yep. Those, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are probably the ones that we did have. Now I'm trying to find them. And I don't know if I can find them. Ah, OMG swag.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
I think OMG has been in there for a while, but hey, it's fine. Here are some new ones, though, Kenny. FOMO. It's the acronym for fear of missing out. And here's their definition. They say fear of not being included in something, such as an interesting or enjoyable activity that others are experiencing.
Okay.
Use it in a sentence.
FOMO didn't provide housing for residents of New Orleans after the hurricane.
Kenny, number two, meet cute. What do you think meet cute means?
When you see a really, really nice looking piece of steak that you haven't cooked yet.
OMG. This python is totally eating my bae.
There you go.
Yum. No, Kenny, meet, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
I spell them the same.
Kenny, it means a cute, charming, or amusing first encounter between romantic partners, as in a movie, I suppose. So meeting for the first time and daw. All the feels.
All right.
You know?
Yeah. Life is not a movie. I'm sorry to say, if you're out there thinking, I'm going to have a meet cute, I don't want a FOMO, or I don't know what, I don't know how to use that.
I have such FOMO that I want my meet cute to be hella good.
Oh, I'm going to throw up.
number three, Kenny, hella. Meaning the Northern California version of very or extremely.
So that is now in the dictionary.
It bring it on.
Now, can we trace that back to a Northern California origin?
It's gotta be. I mean, well, we can. Folks here in the United States, I believe the vast majority of the people who are here in the United States and listening to this program can answer that question for us. So if you would, you can text the answer over to 949-342-6578 or join the chat room right now and just say hello either way. Let us know if that has been part of your cultural lexicon as of late.
Okay.
Kenny, number five, as you look that up, TMI.
All right, that's an old one.
Meaning meaning too much information. Yeah, we've been using it since, ancient Greece, I believe. It's been around for a while.
Okay. Greece. Okay, sorry. I'm looking up an article about the origin here. And there are two possible origins.
Okay.
Toronto or Oakland. And that was my door. I'm a ventriloquist with my door.
It's close.
But it looks like Oakland is the origin.
Bay Area. Nice work.
So it is a Northern California word, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's something that I really want to lay claim to, though. I'm just like,
come on. That's got to be
in the dictionary. I suppose that is some notoriety.
That's right. It's part of our vocabulary. So anyway, Kenny, there's a whole list. There's a huge, gigantic list. I would say maybe 50 words here.
Oh, a whole bunch of 50 words. I'm going to look right through them and try to pick my favorite one
right now. You're going to do that right now. Okay, well, careful, because it might be a trigger warning, which that's one.
Okay. Gastric banding. Oh gosh.
Yep,
that's in the dictionary.
Now, how do you feel about two words?
Wacky tobacky.
No,
that's in there.
Oh boy. Well, it is 421.
Oh, so close.
Jeez, oh, man. Louise. As you look over that list, that'll be in the show notes, by the way, morningshow.am, or, of course, over in our show notes at goodstuff.fm/morningshow. And if you do the slash after that and go to latest, it'll just take you to the newest one, which if you're listening to this now, is this one. Probably.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to quit this cold turkey. It's a noun. It's an abrupt, complete
turkey sound
cessation without medication of the use of drugs by a drug addict.
Hey, we were talking about Google having those sounds. Totally has a turkey sound.
I wonder if it's a cold turkey.
It's cold out here.
Team cold turkey. That's what it's saying. Yep.
Okay.
It's so cold.
All righty.
Speaking of being cold, maybe. No, it doesn't work. Let's just do.
These are today's headlines.
Okay, I know it's Thursday. It's not Food Friday yet, but McDonald's Corporation is quashing reports that a coming Missouri restaurant will test all-you-can-eat fries, saying the endless spuds will be available for a limited time only to promote the site's scheduled July grand opening. The buzz is around a reported, quote, test of unlimited fries for customers at the pending location in St. Joseph, north of Kansas. When word broke, the news quickly went viral, piquing the interest of fast food lovers across the Twitter sphere. I did hear about this. If you're in this area, I guess, I don't know, eat as many fries as you can.
Yeah, I have some sage advice for you, Kenny.
Do it.
Ah, perfect. Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Microsoft is going to stop making the Xbox 360 after 10 years of it being on the shelves,
your Best Buys on
your Best Buys,
your circuit cities.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, we're good. Mm-hmm. But Kyle, it is the end of an era. The company explains the problems of making a decade-old product are starting to creep up, and it's just not worth the effort to keep the venerable system around. Microsoft will continue to sell consoles and games while supplies last. That's a good all-encompassing term right there. And Xbox Live support will continue for the foreseeable future. However, it is reasonable to say that it's almost exclusively about the Xbox One from here on out.
I believe it. That makes sense. I mean, a 10-year-old console doesn't feel like the Xbox 360 is 10 years old, but
it's actually 11.
Well,
because it came out in 2005.
It goes to 11.
Right. but the PlayStation, I remember the PlayStation 2 was, it had, I think, a 12-year lifespan. I think that's how they, 2001. I think it was 2013 was when they stopped making it.
Wow.
I don't remember exactly though.
Do they still make the PlayStation 1, like the ONE PlayStation?
No, Kyle.
What?
What? The PS1?
Yeah. PS1.
No. No. Okay. Except I do think that they should sell the new PlayStations in that like matte gray color.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that color.
Tiny.
I think it goes with everything.
Tiny, tiny PlayStations.
Okay.
Gimme.
Moving on. Tesla semi-autonomous system and now available for free trial period. What's that?
Like
Tesla is offering
a trial of a software, Kenny. Just FOMO. Like your promotional giveaway.
You mean your FOMO?
Your FOMO giveaway. FOMOtional. OMG.
FOMOtion.
It's so you don't miss out.
Okay. Anyway, Tesla is offering 1 month free trials of its autopilot semi-autonomous driving system for customers who didn't opt for it from the factory. Every Tesla electric car built since later 2014 has the hardware for autopilot, and like satellite radio or telematics systems, Tesla is apparently hoping that free trials will get owners hooked on a feature that they may not think they need it until they try it. Tesla is notifying customers of the free trial through messages on their car's dashboard screens.
Hey, you want to keep driving?
No. It's, hey, you want to stop using your hands? Here you go.
We've actually, so you think you've been driving for the last 30 days, but actually we've been driving for you. Ha, take that.
Now that would be good.
That would not be good. No.
Oh, that'd be great.
It'd be terrible.
Well, that would be proof of concept though, wouldn't it? Hey, remember all those accidents you got in? That wasn't us, but the other stuff that was
totally you. That was you. That was all you.
It's like, why of cars, Kyle?
Well, it's like, why am I so good at driving? Why am I so good at driving all of a sudden? Well,
maybe you're in this one, Kyle, okay. Because a car just drove 1,200 miles across China all by itself.
Wait, I do have that one. Let's see. Please pause right here for a second. I've got one.
Pausing.
I've got one that is good for this. Let's see. Let's take a look here.
You really came to a crawl here.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah. Oh, looking for a sound.
Nope. Don't have one.
All right. Great. Thanks for that, Kyle. Changan Automobile Company reports that they have successfully tested their self-driving car through a 1,931 kilometer, which is just 1,200 miles, road trip with very, very little human intervention, at least according to the experts. Now, Changan is just one of many companies that are globally competing to develop and produce vehicles that can operate on their own. Mm-hmm. The company's tests with the self-driving automobile is part of their plans to manufacture highly automated vehicles by at least 2020. Now, that's becoming like the end date, right? Mm-hmm. 2020 is now the autonomous vehicle date. We're going to get all these.
It's just far enough away for us to feel like, okay, yeah, that's a future. That's a future date. That sounds like the future, 2020. Plus, there, you know, the alliteration. It's just, and it feels good, you know?
Okay. I mean, imagine 2020.
That's really far. That's very far in the future.
No, not the year 4,200,020.
Ah, okay.
Those are your headlines, Kyle.
All right. Fantastic. Kenny, thank you. All of that is, of course, brought to you by FeedPress. FeedPress is RSS feed analytics and podcast hosting in a simple, intuitive, and unified dashboard. FeedPress features powerful subscriber, podcast download tracking, integrated newsletters, automated publishing, and a slick drag-and-drop podcast hosting interface. FeedPress now serves more than 30 million requests per month and is trusted by many popular blogs and podcast networks, including the following: ESN, Mule Radio, Unprofessional, The New Disruptors, Beautiful Pixels, Inessential, Mattgasm, which I think is one of those new words that's on the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, The Brooks Review, 512 Pixels, and of course, us, the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network. Now here's what you're going to want to do to help support us at the show and our friends over at FeedPress. Go to feed.press/morningshowtoday, sign up and try it for 14 days with no contracts and, say it with me, no commitments.
No commitments.
Okay. Use the promo code MORNINGSHOW during checkout. You'll get 10% off your first year. I was hoping for like a Ron Popeil moment. Like, set it and no commitments. You know?
Slapchop.
Thank you. That's not the same guy. That's fine. Hey, Kenny, a huge thanks to FeedPress for their support of Morning Show and for supporting our whole Good Stuff Broadcasting Network.
You got to stop doing that.
I don't think I do. I like it a lot. It's fine. I like it. Feed.press/morningshow. Go! All right. I've got some follow-up for us here on Tuesday. Strange Tuesday. You were trying to explain to us. Now, we had a fact here in this segment about grass itching you because the little blades, the tiny, tiny grass blades were literally blades and would blades. Scratch your skin so much
Blade
so
three.
That it would make you itch. That's what that grassy itch is. It's kind of like, can you imagine basically just a whole bunch of razors on the ground?
Okay, Kyle.
Like a billion of them, like grass, but they're all just like Gillette.
I think that's a scene from Aeon Flux.
The Gillette. Oh, I hated that movie.
What?
Hated. Really? Is that the one I hated? There was a movie that came out around the exact same time that did the exact same things. It's like a strong female protagonist fighting some shadow government in a futuristic, blank CGI thing.
That's about the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. about Aeon Flux.
Like one was purple and one was blue or something.
I'm going to go ahead and pull it's
always,
this.
That's always what happens. You go to the Hollywood Video and you see Transformers and you see Transmorphers and you're like, oh,
right.
I want that one. And you pick up the wrong one.
Yeah.
And you know that the one you wanted was Transformers, but just in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, but who wants to see Transformers now?
That's true.
I'd rather see Transmorphers and go, you know what? They did good effort, guys.
Not bad. Not bad. With 1/8 of the budget of Transformers, you were able to put something together and get it sitting on the shelves right next to the very, very popular movie.
By the way, I just put a link to that picture in the chat room. It's Blu-ray Blades.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so they're all, like, pointed towards her face.
Yeah, I think it was a defense mechanism for whatever building she was trying to infiltrate.
Why does the future have angry grass? Smart grass.
In the year 2020, hey, Kyle.
Kenny, stop being such a smart grass.
Okay.
you can tell me about the year 2020?
No, that's it.
That was the joke. Okay. Speaking of grass, so let's bring this all back together. Speaking of grass, you were trying to describe to us how to blow a grass whistle, I guess, if that's the term.
Okay.
Blow a grass whistle. And
grass whistle
during that time. Now I'm going to have a link in the show notes to a YouTube video that explains how to do this. But during that time, you had a very roundabout way of explaining this to me, where you needed to get very, very specific on how your hands came together. And yeah. I couldn't help but of course, if you heard Tuesday's episode, play the Macarena behind that.
Yeah,
and you know, just like turn whatever you were telling me to do with my hands into a dance. So that's right. What I did.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is the How to Blow a Grass Whistle Macarena by Kenny.
So, all right, listeners, do this. Doing the shadow puppet. You know when you do a shadow puppet for a bird, you link your thumbs together and you clap your hands, right? You clap your hands, right? Put them like your palms are facing outward and you're looking at your thumbs. You can see the nails and the knuckles on both of them. So they're touching the right side of your thumb on your left hand, touching the left side of your thumb on your right hand. The right side of your thumb on your left hand, touching the left side of your thumb on your right hand. You're now seeing both nails together, right? You're now seeing both nails together, right? You're now seeing both nails together, right? And if you notice, there might be a little gap between the knuckles, right there.
Okay.
And there's a tiny little...
Oh my God.
A little gap right there. That's where you put the blade of grass between those parts, and between that little gap, that's where you whistle. Whistle and the grass goes. Whee! That's where you put the blade of grass between those parts, and between that little gap, that's where you whistle. Whistle and the grass goes. Whee! That's where you put the blade of grass between those parts, and between that little gap, that's where you whistle. Whistle and the grass goes. Whee! And he explains how to do something.
All right.
All right, I had no FOMO for that.
Do you? Do you? It was hella good, Kenny. Come on. So,
all right, good job.
Do you have the dance now? Do you have the hands, the hands together and the dance down? You got it?
No, you made it way more confusing.
Gosh! All right, how about we have somebody explain it to us?
Let's have someone else explain it to us, Kyle, for this very long, drawn out follow up section.
Perfect.
You can have someone explain it to us.
Blowing a grass whistle is a fun summertime activity. You can use any size piece of grass, but the wider grass is a little bit easier to learn with. First, you take a piece of grass, lay it between your
thumbs.
That's it. When you have it situated between your thumbs, all you have to do is bring your thumbs up to your mouth and blow. Try different sizes of grass for different sounds. And have fun.
Okay.
And there you go.
Oh my gosh, that was the worst. Mine was way better.
Which one? The Macarena or the...
My first explanation.
Fine. You know what?
I told you, you made it harder to understand. Now people are like wrapping grass around their hands and trying to do a dance while they're doing it.
First you take the blade of grass in your left hand, then you take the blade of grass. Okay. All right, fine.
I think your next step, Kyle,
yeah.
I think your next step is to actually auto-tune my voice and then try to get me to do the actual notes.
That's where you whistle. Kenny,
That's where you whistle, where you whistle, where you whistle.
You wanted to like sing it. I mean, we can do that if you want. You want to do that now, maybe?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good,
no,
Kenny.
No.
Like air. Did you know? Like air, water expands as it gets warmer, and as a result, becomes less dense.
Okay.
So I guess the single less dense version of that would be gaseous water. They call me gaseous. Water is most dense at temperatures near freezing. When water freezes, however, it expands, becoming less dense. So if equal volumes, of cold water and hot water are compared, the cold water actually weighs more than the hot water. How much more? I don't know. Depends. Depends on how hot.
It depends on how much water.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Uranus.
Thanks. Oh. Uh-huh.
The planet Uranus is rotating on its side. I was wondering how long I could, you know. The whole good stuff broadcasting network.
All right.
The direction of Uranus, the rotational axis of Uranus it's through its north
chair right now.
It's the okay, so you've got the directional axis through the North Pole is almost in the direction of its orbit around the sun. It's at about a 97.77 degree tilt. So it's basically pointed directly at the sun and rolling along its path around the sun.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You said it's pointed in the direction of its orbit around the sun.
So
which would mean that it's at a perpendicular
rolling
the sun.
Fine. You know, it's rolling towards the sun forever and ever, back and forth towards the sun.
It's rolling in the direction of the sun, but it's pointed at its orbit.
Oh, this is
right?
This is incredibly painful. Hey, it's a fact of the day. Kenny, elephants are the only land mammal that cannot jump.
White elephants can jump.
White? Is that the joke? Is that like on Christmas?
There was a movie, Kyle. You remember the movie White Men Can't Jump?
Okay.
With Woody Harrelson.
90s or 80s? Bringing back
Man, that's a good
bringing back the game on Tuesday.
92.
I'll find it. Oh, you looked it up.
Yeah.
Why the heck would you look it up? It's a game. You're supposed to guess, and then I'm supposed to look it up. And then we compare answers when they cheat off one another.
That
and then
game,
we
that game was on Tuesday.
Hey, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My computer's lagging like a dragon.
Lagging like a dragon?
I'm making that up now. Yeah, you've got a lot of weird, strange, posy things. Nobody else is going to be able to hear this other than the live people right now. That's fine. So here's why elephants cannot dunk. Unless, excuse me, unlike all other mammals on Earth, elephants do not have kneecaps. Because I broke them.
Right.
Therefore, they are unable to bend their legs and acquire the needed propulsion to leave the ground. They cannot. Basically, what this is saying is that they couldn't do the Macarena.
Mm-hmm.
Poor elephants.
I couldn't remember the name of the figure skater who with the whole kneecap thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all I had to type in was Olympic kneecap, and it gives me Tanya Harding Wikipedia at the top.
That's pretty good. Wow, that's good. That's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 90s or 80s.
Harding, Nancy Kerrigan, and baton. Those are the three things that it gives me.
Are those in the dictionary?
Yeah.
90s or 80s?
90s.
Okay. Yeah, true. All right. Kenny, I'm ready to move on to a national day because, man, that segment was terrible.
Yeah, well, I think my live voice is going blah, 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 blah on your end, and you can't handle it right now.
No, I'm pretty sure I could handle it. What I can't handle is your disinterest in most of what words come out of my mouth. But that's fine.
That's normal.
That's true. That's very, very normal. Kenny, today's national day, is Happy National Chocolate Covered Cashews Day.
Ooh,
yuck.
I like cashews.
But do
you like cashews?
I love cashews. However, however, a chocolate covered cashew, I guess, would be like a really fatty version of an M&M. Maybe no candy shell, obviously, and no chili. Yeah. But
yeah, no chili nut M&Ms.
No.
They should do cashew M&Ms.
It just seems like too much.
That'd be huge, though.
Too much fat.
So you don't like the fact that they're chocolate covered here?
No, I do not like the fact that they're chocolate covered.
That's ridiculous.
Because
that makes everything better.
No,
everything is better.
I completely disagree. Completely disagree.
Because tell me a food that is not better when it's chocolate covered, other than cashews here.
Gummy bears.
No, those are good.
Those are, I almost used the F word. Those are terrible.
You've never had that either?
No, I don't want. Why would I want a chocolate covered gummy bear? I feel like
I've had everything chocolate covered.
Chipotle.
I feel.
Oh, there you go. Chocolate covered burrito.
I don't know. This is I
FOMO.
Feel like I have zero FOMO for a chocolate covered burrito. I feel like this is bringing back our wishes to have the cold chocolate covered pizza, though.
Oh, that's from Harold's dream.
I know.
That's our 2020 Food Friday.
Yes. No.
Always
thank
in the
you.
Future.
Always in the future. Perpetual future. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a day that I can get behind. Now, this is from Wednesday, and I feel the main reason I'm bringing this up is because I feel like we've covered this before, and I needed to relive that experience. Kenny, yesterday was actually Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day. Do you remember anything about Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day?
I don't remember what we did or if we did anything or whatever.
But you remember Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I'm having a hard time remembering any of last year.
Blur. In general. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Good. You've got to quit the pineapple. You got to quit the chocolate covered cashews cold turkey.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you got to do. Kenny, and a pineapple upside down cake is an upside down cake.
Uh-huh.
Is a cake.
Oh, great.
That is baked.
Oh.
In a single pan. And then Mom, I can go find the Macarena.
No, we don't need the Macarena for this.
And then you turn over that upside down cake. Upside down cake. And
wouldn't that mean it's upside right?
And then yes, and then it is no longer served upside down. I'm very confused. How does go over to the Wikipedia article on upside down cakes?
Yeah.
And you basically says you bake them upside down and then you turn serve it. And then you turn it over and then you serve it upside down. How is that possible?
So you bake it upside down, but yes. You serve it right side up.
No, it's saying it says it's served upside down. Is it upside down from its first upside down state? Or was
no,
it always?
No. See, you bake it the right way, and then you serve it upside down.
No, you bake it upside down. No,
where does it say baking upside down? It always says served upside down.
No, but it looks like it's
this article is in need of verification here.
It's served right side up. Which one? Okay, so which way would be considered upside down then in an upside down cake? Because I would assume
the upside is the top of the cake, right? Cake.
The top of
not
the cake
the top
is,
of the fruit, which is when it's served.
Okay,
the fruit is on top, but when you bake it, the fruit is on the bottom.
Okay, that was my assumption as well. However, I would consider.
Oh my gosh.
I would consider the fruit topping to be the top of the cake because it's called.
Because you're calling it topping.
Because it's a topping.
Not bottoming.
No, because that's not a thing. Bottoming is not, well, I mean.
Well.
Don't go over to Urban Dictionary.
No.
Upside down caking. Sounds good to me. So, anyway, Kenny. Goodness, this is terrible. This is awful.
Oh,
here's some facts about Upside Down Cake Day. The term upside down cake wasn't used very much before the middle of the 19th century. Because the things
for good reason, I guess.
They had to flip the oven upside down. But the style of baking apparently probably dates back much further, probably to the Middle Ages, according to this poorly cited article that I found. The early recipes for fruit upside down cakes were made in cast iron skillets on top of the stove. So that makes sense.
Get behind that.
Yeah, you gotta get a nice sear on those pineapples. The classic one we're talking about here, the pineapple upside down cake, dates to sometime after 1903 when Mr. Jim Dole, that's the guy who ran for president, right? Invented canned pineapple. Same thing.
Bob Dole's, his whole platform was promising pineapple to every American household.
A pineapple in every cake.
Yep.
That's what he wanted. So, to wrap all of this up, because we're going very, very, very long, Kenny, Gordon Ramsay's back.
Oh, perfect.
And he's my favorite.
That was a roundabout way to get to Gordon Ramsay here.
Yes, it is. As always, we've had some requests to fulfill some Gordon Ramsay needs from the chat room. People have wanted to re-listen back to those Gordon Ramsay segments. So here's another one for you. What I've done with this, Gordon Ramsay, it teaches us how to make something, namely, it's some sort of roasted pineapple, except I've removed all of the ingredients. From his explanation. So here is Gordon Ramsay telling us how to make something with pineapple with no ingredients.
This crust encasing all that flavor and juice inside, it intensifies and it gets better and stronger and stronger and stronger. We're going to season it, and inside here, sounds slightly odd, but all it does is just sort of making it a little bit more exciting. Now, a little bit wet, but not too wet because it'll fall off. And then just sort of get your hands in there. Now, really critical, otherwise it's not going to sit. It's almost like you want to ram that snowball in its rear. Okay, and then just treat it nice and gently and pat it. And don't worry about little bits and bobs falling off because you just stick them back on and you bring this out as a sort of grand finale. It looks amazing. Then just carefully sit it. And think of the intensity. Into the bowl in a really sort of vigorous way. There we go. And, you know, it's almost perfumed the whole room. Now, just crack. As it starts to crack, it all comes off in real nice, big chunks. And it really is that little hidden treasure. Just look at the juice everywhere. And just take the end and go underneath, then twist it. Place that onto the plate. Through, push down, and look at the juice coming out. And just open it up and lay that on there. Now, hot spoon, scoop it up. Be generous with it. Put it on the palm of your hand just to release it from the spoon, and then on. So there you go. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Is this about Uranus?
Potentially. Yes. It's pointed directly at the sun.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks, Gordon.
He was whatever he was doing with that hot spoon to spoon it out,
mm-hmm.
just
yep.
Oh gosh.
So that is completely in order. Just removing all the words that mention an ingredient, which really feels like Gordon Ramsay does not do a good job at explaining what he's doing or giving you like numerical values for what he's putting into his dishes. So I hope that's readily apparent, Kenny. I'm ready. Yeah, though.
A Gordon Ramsay podcast would not work.
No, absolutely. It would be like all.
But it would be good comedy. It'd
be fantastic. It'd be like all mouth sounds. I'm ready to move on to a record of the day. Are you ready?
Oh, we're skipping upvote, downvote?
Yeah, you know, I got to mention, upvote, downvote, the upvote.morningshow.am URL is working. So if you'd like to submit things for Friday, that is where you can do it. I've got a couple of things lined up that I think are interesting that I have submitted. But if you'd like to get your pick for interesting things for us to talk about on Friday, we can do that, and you can do that over at upvote.morningshow.am. So let's skip it for right now and come back to it tomorrow, Kenny, and move on to a record of the day. This comes to us from Slovakia, our friend Pavel Durdick. He has broken the record for the most balloon bounces on alternating paddles in 1 minute.
What?
So you've got two paddles, one in each hand, and you've got a balloon in between those paddles. He was able to bounce the balloon on two alternating paddles back and forth in 1 minute, 298 times.
Oh, okay. So the big ping pong paddles.
Bump, 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 bump. Yeah, kind of like the, they're not ping pong paddles. What are the... Like table tennis? I feel like table tennis is different from ping pong. Is it not?
No, that's the same exact thing.
Hedis, maybe? I'm thinking of Hedis.
What's Hedis?
It's like table tennis with your head and a soccer ball.
No, those are ping pong paddles.
Mm.
Those are totally ping pong paddles. It's red on one side and black on the other side.
So what? All right, good. Well,
okay, so I'm watching him do it.
Back.
Yeah, so he's...
I mean, that's pretty fast.
That's precision, too.
He's got a nice portrait.
That's a lot of focus that he's got to do. He's got the paddles. I mean, they're very, very close together with very little space. And this balloon. Oh, man, this balloon is. Yeah, he's got it. Are we listening to it right now?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Oh, he almost lost it. Oh, he almost lost it. Now, are you going to talk about the original record here? That a noisy balloon.
I know, right? Okay, so he was about to lose it.
Yep.
The original record, as you mentioned, Kenny, was 270, as set by Richard Wilson.
Okay, so Pavel broke it. Sorry, I didn't mean to crack my knuckle there. He broke it by 28 here. I guess the next hurdle is to get it over 300 times in a minute.
Yes, I would say two more would be breaking it. Yes, according to numbers,
five times. So that's five bounces per second.
Okay. So what do you think? Do you think we could break this?
I don't think so.
All right.
Well, I don't even have enough focus to spin the clothes hanger on my finger for more than a minute.
I don't have
and
enough.
He did it for like 3 hours.
I don't have enough paddles. So
I like that the related record here is largest group of people beating up cancer balloons.
Like being punched. Poor balloons. Wow.
Yeah. You change one word in that sentence and it turns really violent.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag replace balloons with children.
Yeah. Also, most water balloon tosses over a Ford in 1 minute. That's an interesting record.
That's a terrible record. You know what isn't, though?
What's that?
The longest morning show episode before we get to a daily segment.
No, we're fine.
We're okay. We're good.
It's because we skipped upvote.
That is true. Made up for lost time. I'm ready to play a game, though.
I am ready as well, Kyle.
It has nothing to do with bouncing a balloon, a very loud balloon, between two paddles, Kenny. You do have to make a choice between two things, but they are not paddles. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. As soon as I go back to this and press it again. So dramatic.
Oh,
I'm ready.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. Hey, Roger Daltrey, what happened, buddy?
He is a goat, perhaps. Maybe he's a goat. Or, Kenny, he could be a tennis player. We're going to play a game of, is it a goat or a tennis player? So what I've done here is I've gathered a couple of sounds from some screaming goats that sound like humans. And I've also gathered a couple of sounds from some very, very loud tennis matches where folks like what? Maria Sharapova? One of those.
Oh, she just puts her entire being through every single hit. And that includes a visceral scream on every single hit.
Right. So.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because that's passion. That's passion for the game. She wants to crush the ball. She wants to annihilate it. And she is just willing it to happen with her voice.
I have no idea if that is actually the point of that. I think it's just, you know, you tighten up your core. I was watching videos about this. You tighten up your core and you have more muscular strength to put into that hits, but you can apparently do that without screaming incredibly loud.
You know what? I would try to intimidate my competitor.
Oh, I think that's absolutely the point. That's get down.
I'm gonna kill you.
Get down with the sickness. You mother, right. You mother, get up. Come on, get down with the tennis. So, Kenny, here's the game. I'm gonna play a sound that has been stretched to four times its length. Into a hideous, grotesque re-envisioning of a scream of either a goat or a tennis player. And all you have to do is guess which it is. Are you ready? I've got quite a number of these.
Okay, yeah. So I say goat or tennis player.
That is correct. Are you ready for number one?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Here we goat. Hmm.
All right, so I'm not trying to guess if a goat or a tennis player is falling down a well.
That is incorrect. So all of these have been stretched with something called Paul stretch to try and mask their true identity.
Okay, because I'm going to guess...
It'd be pretty easy to tell the difference between the two of them.
Without stretching it.
Without right? stretching okay. it, yeah.
I'm going to guess tennis player.
That is incorrect. That is a goat. So there you go. Number two.
Okay.
Is that a goat or a tennis player?
I think that's the sound from the mummy. I'm going to guess. I feel like that's going to be a tennis player in slow motion, too.
That is correct. Yes, that is a tennis player. Number three.
I think that's a sound from the ghost army from Lord of the Rings.
Incorrect. Very much incorrect.
There's always a third option. I'm going to go tennis player again. All right.
Very, very good.
I really wish that they would include sound in slow motion replays. Wouldn't that be awesome?
They do sometimes.
But like real, like, I mean, honest, like, I'm going to crush this.
Like the Fox Exmo thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, here's one in slow motion. Is that a goat or a tennis player?
Child goat.
That is correct.
Oh!
I think it's not called a child. It's called a kid.
Oh,
right.
Wait, isn't that a kangaroo?
No. What?
Wait, what's the kid kangaroo called?
Or a Joey. Child
king. A Joey. Child kangaroo.
It's not a kangaroo. No, it's not a child kangaroo. You want to get Macarena again? Or
No.
Okay,
no,
all right.
No.
Number five. Is that a goat or a tennis player?
Goat.
Incorrect. No. That is a tennis player. Tennis player. Screaming. Tennis player.
Now, do you have any of the names of the people who are doing this?
No, I do not. Because okay. It doesn't matter. You mean of the goats?
No. Yeah, the goat's names same as the tennis player's name.
This is Joey the goat.
Joey the goat.
Is that a goat or a tennis player?
It's like Gohan from Dragon Ball Z. I'm going to guess tennis player.
That is a goat. These are very hard, are they not? Are they not?
Scary, actually.
Number
these
seven.
These are like the sounds from Halloween.
Yes, yes. We will bring these back on our Halloween episode, Kenny. We will play another round of this.
Is this a demon or a ghost spirit?
That's not, no. Mm-mm. Goat spirit, maybe. Number seven. Is that a goat or a tennis player?
Something else is going on in the background. Tennis player.
That is correct.
I really want to know what that one sounds like, just regular speed.
I did not save any of those. No.
Mm-mm, oh. Mm-mm. Okay.
Number eight. Is that
okay? I really hope that a tennis player isn't doing some wretched shriek like that.
They kind of do.
No.
But they're stretched.
Maybe if they lose.
It's stretched. It's four times the length. So if they're only screaming for a second, you know, come on. Close enough.
No, I'm going to guess a goat.
All right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Number nine.
I can't believe that's a tennis player.
Number nine. We're almost done. Is that a goat or a tennis player?
Ooh, I want that to be a tennis player.
That is correct. Yes.
That sounds like that sounds like a guy. Yeah, he's really reaching for it, and he accidentally does the splits, and he's so it's a scream of pain, but also he's hitting the ball.
Yep. Yeah. Just like that.
That's the one you should have Paul stretched.
Oh no, I've got a surprise for you, Kenny. Number 10. Is that a goat or a tennis player?
Okay, that sounds like you're mashing up somebody in a series of gears. Like someone fell into the newspaper press.
Okay.
And they are now being just mulched.
Printed.
I'm going to guess a goat.
Incorrect. So many tennis players. That is a tennis player, in fact. Wow. Yes. So there you go, Kenny. That is how you play goat or tennis player.
Okay.
Woo! Nice. Let's see if I can give you a round of applause. Nice work.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, I did not stretch the one where you are barfing, but I did stretch one that you might enjoy here. So here's a little something special for you. Yeah.
Nice.
It's very, very long. Huge. Huge scream. So I'm thinking about just replacing the one that we have in here with that one.
No, because that one's the stretching makes it really scary.
Well, yeah.
Like spectral. Like that's like you're next to the guy, right? Nope. This is like coming out of the fifth dimension of a portal in your room. Woo! Like from the past or from the future, like from the year 2020. Mm-hmm. I'm popping my head in and going, listeners, dude. Tennis player! No. Oh my gosh.
That you're right on tune as well. So
okay,
I'm ready for that mashup. But
no,
we don't need any more of that. Obviously, Kenny, you can find everything that we've talked about today, which was very, very little, honestly, at this point, over at goodstuff.fm/morningshow/298. Or you can, of course, go to morningshow.am. We've got all the notes over there as well. I've got to find a way to include like 900 different upvote links on Friday, but that's fine. Hey, we'll be back here tomorrow enjoying a fantastic Food Friday. I'm very sad about those fries. I got like physically excited about the possibility of unlimited McDonald's fries.
Oh, but you're not yesterday. In Missouri.
It doesn't matter. I would totally go. I was so, you have no idea. Like it's been a very long time since I've had a feeling like that before.
Wait, hold on. Oh, jeez, Kyle. That's personal. But you really like McDonald's fries that much? Because I don't. McDonald's fries are really hit and miss.
Oh, please.
They hit about 30% and miss about 70%. You really have to go at a time when they just make them. And they're fresh out of the fryer.
Well, no.
Crunchy and they're delicious.
Nope. Here is my life hack. The McDonald's folks will typically have those fries, the ones that you think are a 70% miss, just sitting right there underneath the heat lamps. If you indeed say, either probably at a busy time or really any time, say, I'd like a large fry, no salt, please. They will completely remake an entire batch of fries just for you, throw them into a box, and they are fresh always. You can add your own salt at that point and thoroughly enjoy them. That is how you 100% life hack a McDonald's.
I can guarantee you, Kyle, they're not going to make you unlimited no-salted fries.
It doesn't matter. Of course they will. Well, they said
they wouldn't. No, they won't.
Come on.
This is where they pour all of the fries, all of the bags of fries that they have into the fryer all at once, and doesn't matter how many people are there, they're just gonna sit in that giant salt bath.
Just looks like
under the warmers.
Looks like a
and it's gonna be like one of those popcorn machines.
Yeah.
Where they just have mountains of popcorn all the time
flowing out of the front door.
That's what it's gonna look like.
French fries out the front door. Yes, please.
All right. So email Kyle@goodstuff.fm. We got to get out of here.
Yes, we do. Kenny, have a great day. I'll see you back tomorrow. Bye.
Oh, bye. We didn't get to the rest of our stuff.
Outro.